Hello, it's Tuesday, the 29th of October in the year of our Lord, 2024. Tonight, we are starting a week long of guests from across the pond. My first guest is probably my most favourite American, bar Donald Trump. I'm sorry, sorry, but he's up there pretty close. He is a patriot, he's a filmmaker. He's been exposing January the 6th, his film January the 6th. There's two of them, isn't there? There's two documentaries. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. It is the one, the only, Mr. Dave Sumner from Stop Hate. Hello, at last, over there.
Again, we meet again. Finally, it's been way too long. How are you, sister?
I'm good. I'm good. Now, just said before I click record, this might have to be a couple of shows. So that is my excuse for having you back. So
I
for
just want to know what I have to do to bypass Trump on your favorite list. I know it's a lot.
it's you're close, you're close, but you know, as soon as we save all the children
Okay.
that are being trafficked and abused, and there's so much I need to talk about. We need to talk about Diddy, we need to talk about the floods. I'm just gonna let's just kick it off. Let's
Let's go.
kick it off. Here we are. We've known each other coming up to 4 years. It was just after January the 6th we first spoke. We were introduced by Pete Santilli, introduced us. And you are now my, as we said, my favorite American. But for those who don't, who are like new listeners to Liberty Tactics,
Yeah.
very quick, you're a patriot. What started you on the path? And just give us a rundown of everything, the films and what happened January 6th about you, Dave. Over to you.
Sounds great. Let me just give it the 2 minute quickie. Started in 1992 when I saw what the media did with the LA riots, with that little piece of footage with oh gosh, I can't even think of his name. Why can't we get along? Back in the 1992, it started the riots with the police and all that stuff. Anyway, it's just a 33-year mission, I guess, of trying to expose the media and try to bring people together and understand that we're not the enemy of each other. Several years ago, did demand free speech events around the country, trying to warn people of the censorship and the media and the, big tech and the government and the Airbnbs and bank accounts being shut down before it was, widely known or accepted that that was happening. So went into January 6th and bear in mind, I'm just a working guy like everybody else. I'm a carpenter and I build stuff outside, decks and pergolas and so I went to January 6th, but not to I guess more to document history than to be a Trump fan per se. Took a film crew. And we spread out having no idea anything was going to happen that did, but knowing that the media would never tell the truth about crowd size or about whatever happened. So we spread out to film when we got to the Capitol and captured some amazing footage and came back and wanted to build a documentary. Couldn't really afford to, like I said, just a carpenter. And then our mutual friend Mark Sutherland introduced me to Mr. Griffin. With the Red Pill Expo, I had an opportunity to speak for 45 minutes and didn't want to talk that long. Wanted to make a film out of what we had gathered from our own cameras and others from that day and made a 37-minute documentary, the first called Writing History, The Journalistic Battle of January 6th. And I think it's proven true that it's still a journalistic battle, whoever, has the narrative control about what actually happened. So our second film came out the next year called Bloody Hill with
That was amazing.
Juano Saven, Trennis Evans. Trennis just came out with a book. Everybody needs to go to Amazon and get his book. Surprise him. It's called Call It Insurrection Comrade. Easy to
I'll
find.
put a link to it. I'll put a link to it in the comment
It's a
section.
great book.
And
Great.
maybe if he wants to come on, you know, more than happy to have him on, Dave.
That'd be great. That'd be great. So my fourth film was called A Thousand Days of Terror. We released it on the 1,000th day after January 6th. And it just showed what actually happened to start the violence that day, because everybody hears there was a violent mob that descended on the Capitol. That's not what happened. a protest was going on at the Capitol. People were piling in when the police attacked them. And it just shows in a 5.5 minute documentary, about 20 minutes of the day, that just breaks down how it started, who started it, what.
And there were agitators there, weren't there, as well? Absolutely. There were agitators.
Absolutely. And then our fourth most popular, I guess, had five different producers, including myself. J6, A True Timeline. That's the one that Tucker Carlson had us on, said everyone in America should see this documentary. It shows police body cams, CCTV footage, the public footage, everything blended and merged on a timeline that shows what was happening on the east side and the west side, or the inside and the outside, or, you know, whatever, split screens, doing the things that we do. And probably the best explanation of you know, the day as far as video representation goes. So we've tried to document, you know, I've worked with tons of lawyers, tons of defendants, you know, hundreds of people, just trying to be as helpful as we can with what God has given us in expertise, I would say, in collection of all this footage and documenting and plugging it all into a timeline. You know, we've seen bits and pieces, Lou, for years, from the east side, from the west side, from the tunnel, from, you know, different things. We can't put that together in our head. So it really helps to, you know, have it in a chronological, you know, just timeline, so you can see how it progressed and see what happened and who did what, in a very clear and precise way without a lot of heavy narration. So that's to date our four J6 documentaries, and they're all free at stophate.com. And I know we'll talk about this later, but I want to just plug 1afilmfest.com and go in and get this link to our latest film fest we just did in Texas. And it has 12 powerful films that go through COVID and the election and J6 and the FBI and the trafficking situation and the persecution of Trump. It's an amazing collection of 12 different movies, films that have been highly censored. Let My People Go, War on Truth, some of the bigger films that people really need to see. So go to 1A, like First Amendment, 1afilmfest.com, and it's $25. Everybody can get that. But I just want to let people know we're trying to provide what has been hidden. And that's really been, you know, my mission at stophate.com. It's, you know, Stop Hate's 30 plus years old. It's not a new thing. It's not a J6 website. And yet it's become a J6 themed website because that's what's relevant right now. That's what's most important to myself, my employees, my friends, and our country. People are finally waking up to how important January 6th truly is, how big of a setup it is, how deep that goes, and what's the point of all of it. I think the expose couldn't be any more important than anything. I believe, you know, it's up there with the border issues, the trafficking, the sex trade, the everything. It's so important because that's how they control us. So yeah, we'll talk more about that.
Absolutely. So you've also been, you know, rallying around to get the people who are inside, who've been put in prison,
yes,
you know, released, to get their stories that they didn't, you know, you've really been standing by so many of those that they even came for like a year and a half after.
Yes.
You know, and they're saying it's the greatest crime that's ever been. Like, what?
Well, let me just say,
you know, it's their crime.
It is their crime. And that's why they keep trying to blame us. The arrests have gone up. They're trying to get people in front of the courts before the election. They're trying to increase their numbers. Listen, I've testified personally in 10 different trials, and it's the same. You know, these courts are corrupt. I get in trouble all the time for calling them kangaroo courts and, you know, calling judges names and things, but they're true. I'm a very, you know, I try to be a very honest person, and I think the credibility, you know, that's what they try to attack all the time in court, because we've done nothing but prove truth. And over through video, through these relationships with the, you know, defendants or the attorneys or whatnot, just the amount of work that me and my team have done has been, you know, completely God powered. I'll tell you that there's no way we could have done everything that we've done. couple of those things. I sit on the board of directors for two of the different groups that support these families of J6ers and the defendants. American Gulag Chronicles is the books, the letters from prison Tim Rivers and Marie Goodwin put together. The first book is called Letters from Prison. The second book is called Art of Confinement. They're beautiful books. They're fundraisers. 100% of the proceeds go to the prisoners and their families to help with bills and life, because the crush hasn't stopped for them and won't for years. So go to lettersfromprison.us, lettersfromprison.us, and pick those books up. Really help out the families.
I'll put all the links down. You can just send me everything that I need and I'll put it all in the comments.
Absolutely. And that's the one I think that really helps more. It's a direct support for the families, but it gets people into the know of what these folks are experiencing, you know, from their own hand. The media didn't want people to know. The judges, the courts don't want people to know. These are letters to the American people. These are letters to other people that are writing letters back to the prisoners back and forth. It's an amazing collection. Also, it was just seen on Roseanne Barr's latest with Lara Logan. If you look up on the shelf behind Lara Logan, looking at the screen, it's on the left, you'll see American Gulag Chronicles, Art of Confinement, right there on her shelf. I gave them to her a couple of weeks ago, I guess, in Fort Worth. Her and Tucker were here in town, so I wanted to be sure and make sure she had copies of those. She's helped us in the past.
She's fantastic.
She's amazing.
I don't know the guest she had on the other day, but his story, it sounded like he was abused as a child, but he's the real writer of The Matrix.
Oh, wow.
And the Wachowski brothers, or whatever they're called, or sisters, or whatever. Amazing. It's completely, they've spun it around, and they've really got the truth community sucked in. You know how we used the red pill? Let's red pill them. The red pill was actually adrenochrome. That's what they were given. That's how it was originally read. You didn't want to be red pill. This was the adrenochrome to send them into the darkness.
Wow.
Like depravity, and they've spun it round, and now the truth movement are all there, and it's really they're taking it, you know, they shouldn't really be saying it.
Well, these are some really tricky times, and I think that's the
important. We are living in amazing.
Well, this conversation especially, because the importance of words and the meaning of words. We were proactive directly after January 6th to establish the proper verbiage in our community, because that's where it spreads out from. So instead of Jan 6 or 1-6, we developed J6. And as a matter of fact, I would go on programs, people call them political prisoners, which at first sounds really great. Yeah, political prisoner, that's what they basically are, but it's worse. If you can imagine it being worse than a political prisoner.
They're being kidnapped, basically.
Well, they are literally hostages, because prisoners have rights. So I would go on shows and gently correct hosts and say, thanks for having me. I appreciate what you said about political prisoners. But let me correct you and say they're actually hostages, because prisoners have rights and these guys don't. And by that, you know, there's much detail, the deprivation in the system. But even President Trump has adopted that as saying the J6 hostages, which in turn had everyone in the country adopt it when they try to refute. Oh, he calls them the J6 hostages. Thank you. Points on the board, points on the board, points on the board. These are things that we have sewn into the narrative, into the vernacular, because it's important to get the words right. So when we're talking about colors, and we're talking about shapes, and we're talking about symbols, and all these things matter, and they have history, whether we understand or know the history.
That's funny, because that's when people say child pornography, like those child, they're not like, no, you know, or child prostitution. These children aren't prostitutes.
Well,
it's the wording, as you say, it's the wording.
It is. You said it yourself, adrenochrome. So let's think about how we were all engaged as small children into that world. Let's think back. What did they tell us the fairy tales about? The Fountain of Youth. And the Fountain of Youth, they sent people all over the world looking for it. And when you drink from it, you have to continue to drink from it. Just like that other stuff you were talking about, you stop producing it if you take it another, right? So there's that fountain of youth. They're saying
exactly.
It. Right? When we go to church, the fountain of blood is Christ, the fountain of life, the fountain of everything. That's the blood. Why would the fountain of youth be anything different than blood? And here we've been led down this fairy tale where, oh, the fountain of youth, it's elusive, and oh, you can stay young forever. Wait a minute. And then that technology, when they sent explorers literally to try to find that, they went to the Mayans, the Incas, the Aztecs, and they found their temples and their sacrifices and their bloodletting and their organs. And this is what they brought back, the technology. And that's what's been in practice for thousands of years. And
well, Sodom and Gomorrah, and, you know, Lot giving his daughters, you know, away. So, you know, this has been going on forever.
Well, people don't read the part of the Bible where it says we've already boiled our baby and eaten it, and she won't give us ours. So make her bring her baby so we can boil and eat it. They don't read those parts of the Bible. This stuff's real, folks. And, yeah. And we're not gloom and doom and all that. We're saying be aware because you've been blinded, and study and show yourself well proven, because these colors, symbols, shapes, everything matters. Yeah. And it's all in an attempt to deceive you. The Bible's very clear. Many will be deceived. Now, it doesn't say what number that is, but I would imagine if it says many, it's more than half. Many sounds more to me like most.
We are seeing revival, though, aren't you? Would you not agree? I'm seeing, you know, I still consider myself a newbie. Oh. But I'm seeing more and more people, you know, who are finding their faith. It's just incredible. It's so uplifting, especially in these dark times. I mean, I think more and more people can see that there's more. What is going on today is more than, you know, this is a spiritual battle.
This is
completely. But I do believe God's in control. I do believe 100, completely.
100.
But they are trying everything they can. And I don't think, and I've said this for years, and I can't remember who I first heard it, and it made total sense. We are living in the times of Jonah.
Right.
Jonah was sent to Nineveh to give them 100 years to stop in their ways and to stop, turn against their evil ways and turn to God.
Well, let me tell you from experience.
And I think that's where we are. It's the deep state and the darkness who are trying to push forward.
That's right.
Revelation, and it ain't going to work. I mean, look at what happened at the Olympics. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've got so much to talk about.
Listen, let me tell you from experience, the hard road is what puts you on the right road. You know, you hear all the time, until you get to the bottom, you know, to start your way. All those things matter. That expression itself, you know, based on my experience, that says we have to get to the bottom sometimes to have that come to Jesus moment, that he is what we need out of necessity so many times. And we forget that during the fat times, you know, when everything's fine. And look what we've done in America. I mean, we're the example. We took him out of everything, schools and the public and the government. You know, you can't talk about this and that and let everybody else run amok. And we're paying that price. I just feel like that is one of the things people do need to realize. It is a spiritual warfare.
You know what's happened here in the UK? The Church of England, the churches are no longer to be called churches. They're called religious centers now.
That's just crazy. It is just crazy. What has the world come to, and why are we allowing it to happen? I think that's the point of this exercise. I really do.
Well, I mean, don't you remember when we were banging on with, you joined us for both you joined us for all three podcast-a-thons.
Oh, yeah.
You did all three with us. You know, we were saying, where are the dads?
I support
where
you.
Are the fathers at the school gates?
That's right. And let me tell you, on January 6th, the video that I took at the front gate before it went down was some guys yelling out, where's all the men? Because there was, you know, dozens of women at the front gate, not men. So you would just by that one video know they didn't show it for violence. They got all the women up front, right? But there's a guy on my video saying, where's all the men? You know, where's, and of course they were all on their way, thousands and tens of thousands of them walking down the street, you know, in that direction. But, you know, I think when you get to this point, it's an expose. People have to have pain points. They have to see it for themselves. They have to experience, you know, we've been in a land of plenty for a long time in so many ways, and we've let other people run our business when we should have had an active hand, and we didn't. And now we're paying the price. And look, it took a long time for us to get here. It's going to take some time to dig us back out, but it's going to take us all. And that's the thing that we always try to push. Nonviolent approach, of course, but it's beyond that. It's the American people against the government and the world powers, right?
Well, you're the fighting block for the rest of the world, yeah. Because this is why, you know, I have not got a single clue what is going on politically in this country. Not a dicky bird. Right. But I can, and I have no idea who's in parliament, but I can probably name the majority of Republican House representative and congressmen. I know American law seems to do that now. I can now do military plane spotting. Uh-huh. And I know more about, you know, who's in Trump's cabinet, what their background is, you know, because you are one country under God. Okay. Right. You have a connection. He is going to save his land. I believe I watch all the prophets, Amanda Grace, Robin Bullock, and they've been so many spot. They've been spot on so many times. I've had Julie Green on the show. I've had Deborah Williams on the show. And I do think he's chosen. He is David. He's this generation. He's been chosen.
That's right. Well, listen,
I do think that.
I think it's a lesson of hands and feet. You know, I may be a J6 expert and know everything under the sun J6, whereas I may not know as much about trafficking as you do. And that's your specialty. Somebody else knows about my government or your government more than us. And we depend on them. They're the fingers, they're the toes, they're the hands, we're the feet. Yeah. Everybody plays a part. And I think that's the activation that you're seeing, that awakening that people keep, you know, talking about whatever verbiage, reawaken, awaken. I don't know that people have ever been awake. And I think the carryover is to look at the, you know, American Medical Association and look at how old and how long we've been living in this system to where it's all we know. And when you understand the control that they have and how they've subverted all these holistic doctors and people that are, you know, not quacks at all, that have real knowledge, that we've been, you know, accustomed to having in generations past, and now we're totally dependent on that system that we complain about all the time. You know, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket for anything. I believe that we're at a point we need to have someone in each family group that goes for their medical training so they can have a family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then bring things back to communities. So yeah. Over here, we pay fortunes in council tax to collect our bins. And Clive de Carl, he's always said, well, why do we need them? Why can't the people in your little area, your little village, that's right. Okay, there's holes in the road. Now we'll go and get a tarmacker. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, you know, why do we need to depend on more government? And I mean, you can look at what happened in Argentina when he slashed the government. They had like something like 20% inflation. I'm not sure on the figures, but it literally went down to like 1% inflation because he cut all of the government, the bureaucracy. He cut it all. You don't need it. Get rid of these departments.
No, and that's the government what we see. I mean, go ahead.
No. Just finish that because I want to see where we're going to go next because there's so much I want to talk about.
Well, I was just going to say the waste is built into the system, and that's where the people have been asleep to it because we haven't been running our own business. And I think, you know, as profit sharing, as partners, as owners, we haven't been getting our check. And I think there's a check that's due everyone as far as the resources America has, the natural resources, the oil, everything that, you know, Trump had us in a pretty good spot. And we had a lot more potential of growth and maturity on a lot of these accounts that were already, you know, in place, that things that if they had come to fruition and things would be a lot different, you know, and of course now talking about, you know, relieving the taxes and doing all these different things that seems last minute, talking about how in the late 1800s, you know, America was became, you know, a corporation and this and that. I mean, things that we've all been talking about for a long time. And I'm not going to go so far as the Sarah Gasera stuff, you know, because who
yeah, knows? Same. I kind of, yeah, I'm exactly the same. I'm like, yeah, twitchy on that at the moment. I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just in a holding pattern of hope and encouragement, inspiration. I think that it's about time that we, and I hate it because it's necessary, but look at it this way, Lou. I want people to understand. I know I do a lot of January 6th comparisons, but here's the main one in my opinion. January 6th to me proved that we're like China. It's Tiananmen Square. We murdered protesters. We put them in prison. We blamed them for it. And we use the media to cover it up and use the justice system or the injustice system to, you know, frame them all, put them in prison forever. So we see what happens there. But when you get past that, when it's done in an attempt to avoid a bigger death count. So the art of war, as we know, is to reduce the death count. You want to trap your enemy. You want to trick them. You want to surround them when they think they're surrounding you. Right. So if we could have January 6th and avoid a civil war, then yes. And these are the heroes, the J6ers, that are sitting languishing in prison that have killed themselves under the duress, the suicides, the ones that were killed on January 6th that were swept under the rug. All these are the heroes that are paying that price, that are the bodies. They are the body count, but they have saved the Constitution. They have saved Americans from fighting brothers and cousins and neighbors, and that's what was avoided, because there had to be an expose on how corrupt this government is and what it's willing to do to its own citizenry to maintain that control. COVID didn't work as well as they hoped. We caught on eventually. The people stood up and they fought back and they said, we can't do this. It's not healthy for us. We listened to you at first, but you're killing us. And
I didn't bloody listen to them.
Well, and that's the whole thing. A lot of people stood out, and those are the survivors, the people. I've seen those little phrase thing. They're so cool that we're the only ones out of the world, that all that propaganda, all that programming, we never fell for it. We're strong. And I get that, but we have to teach that if we're going to survive.
Amen. Well, I'm going to get on to another subject now. So back in November, the singer Cassie dropped a lawsuit. And myself and Christine, who's from Arkansas, but she's in Alabama. She's now a co-host on the shows. Mm-hmm. Her and I spent 6 hours literally methodically going through these documents, learning about the players that are mentioned within the documents. And we started doing deep dives into Diddy.
Wow.
I then did a huge show with a UK DJ called Mark Devlin. He's also a truther. He's fantastic. He's written some books. But he's been to Bad Boy Studios and he showed me some photos. He's there pictured with Aaliyah, God rest her soul. He's pictured there with Beyonce sitting on a sofa at Bad Boy Records. So we discussed like the Boule, the black Illuminati, and the witchcraft that goes into there and what these kids have to do to get to stars. Then I went on a deep dive. We came across a video. It was actually thanks to a YouTuber called Tisa Tells. They found a video from a guy called Jonathan Oddie. Jonathan Oddie ran into the Trump Doral in Miami hotel and started shooting up the hotel, and he was running around, and you can see the video, and he's giving, then he's in his interview gets released, and this is in 2016. Okay, so this incident happened in 2016.
Okay,
in his police interview, he's sitting there and he says, I have been a sex slave for P. Diddy. He said they are trafficking guns, people, and they're trafficking cocaine and stuff in the Ciroc vodka. And he's naming Alan Davis. Is it Alan Davis? Clive Davis. He mentions Nick Ross. He mentions Rick Ross. He mentions Jay-Z. And he mentions that they go round and literally confirming Cassie's story. But this was in 2016. Do you know what? This guy hasn't been in front of a judge to be sentenced. What? He has been sitting in Miami-Dade. And I think he's like evidence. That's why he's not going in there. I then went further. Have you heard of a gentleman called Ron Burkle?
I don't believe
Ron
so.
Ron Burkle owns Whole Foods. He's got money in Airbnb. He's got money in Spotify. He's bought the private members club here in the UK called Soho House. He bought the Neverland Ranch. He's behind the Tulsa King or something. He's Diddy's sugar daddy. He went on, he's got a plane called, excuse my language, sorry, Fuck Force One. He went on a trip with Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein to Africa.
Ugh.
He is absolute debauchery. Now, more and more is coming out about the crimes of Diddy. It is getting very dark. It's getting worse and worse. I do believe, and tell me what you think, and if I'm crazy, please say so.
Uh-huh.
I think this expose of the crimes that Diddy did is preparing the public for when they do, because there's a reason why the documents of Jeffrey Epstein are still sealed. You know, the client list and what exactly went on down there. And there was horror things going on, like human experiments going on. He was so close to Bill Gates, and that was his field of work as well. That was his interest.
That's right. So the way this
I believe that this Diddy stuff is getting people ready.
Yeah.
For what's going to happen. Because I can't remember if you followed the Q post, but I followed it from the start.
Right.
You go back and you read those posts, and they are mentioned today. And the day Diddy got arrested, the Q post is goodbye music industry for that day.
Wow. Well, I tell you,
we're watching a movie.
I tell you,
I believe we're watching a movie, and I do believe they are going to rig the 2024 elections, and that in turn will then bring in military and control.
Well, there's a lot of theories about what's about to happen here. That's one of them, and that's
stock exchange as well. Like the prophets are saying, stock exchange crash. I mean, they can't let this happen because this is the end. The public are aware now of the games they're doing. They're seeing it for themselves.
People forget, you know, 1999 when China declared unconditional warfare against the Americas. And, you know, there was never a treaty. There was never a ceasefire. Oh, what is unconditional war? Well, that's war without missiles and bullets and planes and tanks and troops. That's just the subversive stuff. And now we hear that, what? China owns the Democratic Party. What? China Joe? What? China? What? Tiananmen Square on J6? We are living in China America, and people haven't. So I think you're correct, and I believe this is an expose. Look, human nature is what it is. We've been programmed to take in information in certain ways. Trump has been accused of being a TV president forever. So in knowing that, don't you think at some point he's going to use that superpower and be the special TV president that uses that as the expose to break these chains, these cycles, these authorities, these rulers, these powers and principalities, basically, that are global? Because
I mean, I can't get my head. No. I mean, we were joking running up to 2024, the 2020 election. I can remember Tucker Carlson doing that montage of Biden, buttercup care. I'll take an America, true in America.
Yeah.
And I was sitting here and I was rolling around. We have now, I sent you the video just now of what I witnessed. Kamala Harris, she sounds like Foghorn Leghorn. And anybody who doesn't know the video I'm talking about, go to Liberty Tactics Facebook or Liberty Tactics TikTok, and you can see that video. I've never heard anything like it. And as for Tim Walz, it was only exposed yesterday that he had an affair. You know how he said he was in China at Tournament Square or whatever, and that was turned out to be a lie. He was there before, but he was having an affair with the daughter of a Chinese spy.
Wow,
a imagine. Bit like that. What's his name?
Yeah, Spitwell or whatever, Swalwell.
Yeah. Swalwell.
Yeah. And then
you've got that dude. Who's the guy who? Oh my gosh, who's the dude who had the stroke and couldn't talk, and it had to be done through? I mean, it was nonsense. Who was he? That he was the big bloke, and he had the stroke, and he really wasn't right. His head was completely gone. And they were saying that the voices coming out of him was what he was thinking, and they'd been able to. Who was he? What was his name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But I tell you what,
it's insanity.
It is,
like, and I think the absolute frigging insanity.
I really think when you give enough rope to people, they hang themselves, and this is one of those situations that Trump is masterful at. And look, when you surround yourself with those people, so that you can allow them to commit their crimes, and then you have the plan that keeps the death count at the lowest, and yet you're doing that exposure along the way, and you're conditioning the people to accept the information that you're about to drop on them incrementally, and yet you've exposed them to pain points by allowing this administration to seemingly be in control. I mean, that's part of it. And look, I hadn't kept up with all the Q drops. I read a bunch of them when they started. But I have a lot of people tell me that I sound like Q or a Q whatever. And I don't know really what that means a lot of times.
It does sound like you do. It sound when you're talking, of the things you brought up, it sounds like you were following it and completely because you're spot on with what's being said.
Here's what I think's interesting about that. I'm pretty much a recluse. I mean, I do know everybody, but I don't socialize a lot. So we may be acquaintances, but we don't talk on the phone with people. I have two or three people that I converse with regularly, and so I don't do the Q thing. And I think it's really interesting that based on where I gather my information, which is not from the Q people, and how I build my own thesis or theories is standalone from the end, to come back to the same place. I mean, we could talk about Mike Pence and the role that he played.
What was all that about that last day with that, whatever he was handed that day?
Well,
this is why I think we're watching a movie. It was like so in your face.
Well, you know, and I think that, and this
it was like a token from John Wick.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of like that. It's like, welcome to the club. Here's your new bag.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That, in my opinion, I don't know that Pence is a bad guy. I don't know that anything's ever been proven.
Well, he was very close to Bush when a senior, very, very close to Bush senior.
Yes.
He wheeled him out at the game. See, look, listen to me. If you ask me anything about the UK government, I couldn't tell you anything.
Isn't that funny?
Apart from Tony Blair's a murderer.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's funny because you know the importance of American politics, how it affects
exactly.
You. And it's always here and then there. Or in reverse, sometimes we see with the migrant situation and how they've abused y'all and just forced it on you. And then we're experiencing so much of the same stuff. And we see it systematically. And people have to understand it's not just a national issue for either one of us. It's global. We're experiencing the same thing. And those same globalists are trying to solidify that verbiage, that narrative that we were talking about, how important words are. That's exactly.
That's like
you're talking about the church is now
you're not allowed to call it a church anymore, and it's crazy. But I just want to kind of keep going, like with the whole Diddy stuff. So, you know, we know that he had the tunnels that went to the Playboy Mansion. We know kids were there. There's, I don't know, Busby's got 120 cases. The woman's got 50. You've got the guy who represented Little Rod Jones. He's got a couple of cases. You know, you're looking coming up to, I say, nearly 200 cases now.
Yeah.
And the list goes, the list is literally going.
Have you heard the latest?
I think we're seeing the decline now that Hollywood is over.
Sure.
Again, as I say, this is going to lead up, because what I found is they're all connected. You can go back. I don't know if you, America was aware of the crimes of a guy called Marc Dutroux in Belgium. in the 80s and 90s around then, he was stealing children off the street, you know, going the usual MO. He'll go into the rundown areas. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And he's kidnapping kids. Oh, yeah. He had kids in his basement and even went to prison for 6 months but the children were still there. But when he was finally caught with kids shoved in behind walls and stuff, he said that he would, you know, he was getting them for the elite. Yeah. And in that part of the world, it's very flat, and they got these big like castles, like kind of gothic-y castles in the woods.
Yeah.
Where we know from various authors such as Kathy O'Brien that they do these human hunting parties. Correct. And you can link this Mark Dutroux. He ended up only him going to prison. He was the lone wolf that kidnapped these hundreds of children, even goes to prison 6 months, and the children were still being used. It's the normal cover up. So he was this lone wolf. But the people who are listed in the papers that were released from the survivors, they listed the people who were there. Mm. And people on that list, there's Prince Charles on that list, and he's worse than Andrew. Andrew's just been pushed forward to take it. But Charles, according to these papers, is worse. You've also got, you know, and you've got people that there who are linked to Balenciaga and Marina Abramovich. You've got links to Jimmy Savile there. Then you've got, as I say, Balenciaga, Jeffrey Epstein. This has been going on. This is one huge ring that's been going on. These people worship Satan.
Absolutely. And
children are nothing to them.
Absolutely. So, well, down to
God's in control. I truly, truly believe we are seeing the downfall of Satan and what they were trying to plan on our children.
Well, we're also learning that the world does run on energy. The yes. world does run on power. It's just not money. It's our souls. It's our
absolutely. It's but they're doing everything they can to stop this. Now, Hurricane Helena. I followed the whole storm. I was following the storm chasers.
Yes.
And earlier in the day, is it Ryan Hall? He's fantastic. He does. You know, I think he is. He's a truther. And there are planes that go into the eye of the storm just to measure it all. There are military things that do. But there was a weird plane that turned up just before it sort of like started really gaining, I think, up to category 3 or whatever. Mm. And there were grid lines on the water in the middle of the ocean.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And look where it went. Look where it went up. And it's basically bouncing. Somebody, what I heard, it's bouncing off these different kind of heart technology or whatever and being steered in a certain way.
That's what they're saying. And if HARP is what they say it is when they say what it is, then it does that. I mean,
and then what happened in North Carolina, that there's not enough money from FEMA. Oh. No one's turning up. Then they're telling people, independent people who want to go and help, the rich, like they've got helicopters they're going to go and do, like yeah. that they go to prison if they wanted to help. Then they've got all the aid stacked out that the community and others have helped to do because FEMA's not there.
Yes.
And the plane comes over and hovers over and all the aid gets scattered. It I mean, does. these people are desperate, and I feel this next week, they're going to throw everything at this.
Yes, they are. And
but
it's okay.
Then I think they'll do the steal. And do you think they will pack the Supreme Court?
I don't think they'll get that far. I don't think they'll be successful in this attempt to steal the election this time. I think there's going
to
be...
Do you think they'll try to and come off with it, hence bringing in military control? Or do you think it will come out that you guys can wake up in the morning and Trump is the winner? What do you think? I've got a feeling they're going to try and do the whole steal again.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wake up in the morning thing. I think it's going to be drug out like last time as far as the counting and this, and, you know, the excuses and the power outages and the fake water main breaks and the usual things. We're still waiting on dead people to vote and waiting for people to get over the wall so they can throw their ballots in. And, you know, I mean, that's basically what they did last time. And I expect the same from that. I expect a different response from the American people. You know, in 2016, Trump said, "I'm giving the power back to the people." Now, we've sat here for the last several years trying to figure out what that means and what it feels like in our hand to have that power, and how to take our country back. And
but he had to clean out it all. He had to clean out the justice system. He had to clean out the FBI. He didn't know. He came into that, and as you know, he didn't know politics.
No.
He was taking advice off of bad people. But people, now they've all shown themselves.
People asked me 10, 12 years ago, you know, how do we fix this? You can't. You can't fix one thing because the other thing's going to overwhelm.
Exactly.
Then you go to fix it and the other thing breaks again. And you're in this mad circle. And that's kind of where we've been. You have to have a reset of sorts. And I know that's a weird word too, but there has to be that. And to disband some of these organizations that have been completely corrupted. Look, I was seeing Trump say earlier that he's going to go after the cartels and the gangs and take their money and redistribute it. Well, one of those biggest gangs is our U.S. government. You know, when you talk about all the violation, all the money, all the stocks, all the holdings, all the properties, all the cars, all the everything.
But didn't he do that executive order when he first came in to say it was to do with human trafficking or crimes against humanity, that any company, corporation, person, it was like a worldwide thing, who have been found crimes against humanity. And then you're looking, that's looking at Rothschild, the royal family. But look at what's happened to the royal family.
Yeah.
William and Kate live in that little cottage. Uh-huh. And I must say, and I don't do this very often, I started the hashtag Where's Kate?
I love it.
Because I picked that up in the beginning, in mid-January. And then everyone thought I was absolutely crazy. I went on some big shows and I was really like, and then literally but a few weeks later, the whole thing is Where's Kate? Where's Kate? But they live in a tiny little four-bedroom cottage.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Like, how what? Things change seemingly overnight.
They're finished.
What a difference.
They're finished.
Yeah.
All coming down. They are broke.
Yeah.
They are being, their assets are being seized. I don't think William will take the throne. I don't think that's going to happen. People are seeing through it. And I think it will all come out. Everything, as that cat William said, everything is coming out 2024.
And it's time. And praise
it's
God.
So time.
Because there's no other way we could do this. You know, like I said, without a massive loss of life. I'm just so excited that we're able to, you know, have an opportunity like this and hopefully avert any kind of violence. And here's the thing. You've seen the thing about if you put 100 red ants in a jar and 100 black ants in a jar, nothing happens until someone shakes the jar. And then they kill each other, you know, they go to war. And we have to understand as people.
Wow, that's fantastic. What a line.
Who is shaking the jar? And it's not the people. We're not shaking it. We're just trying to get along and go to the grocery. You don't see any of that at the store. Nobody's throwing canned goods at each other. We're just trying to live our lives, supply for our family. We have so much more in common. That's been my message for 30-something years.
But the problem is they are bringing people in that do not have the same values or culture as us. I mean, you're in Texas. How close to the border are you? What are you seeing? Because I saw film footage, you know, they may like, you're eating the dogs, we're eating the cats. But there was a film footage, I saw it, of somebody stealing a cat and carrying it off.
Yeah, I mean, there's horrible things happening like that, you know.
Like voodoo, like dark, like there's some funny weird rituals in all these countries. They have different cultures.
That's the point. People don't understand the level of voodoo and witchcraft. When they eat your pet, they're eating part of your pet. They think they get more power over you when they eat your dog or cat. I mean, seriously, and these are things that, you know, our media is always going to ignore. People like Trump, he's so amazing the way he'll throw something out like Puerto Rico is an island of trash. You know, why would he say it like that? To get people to investigate it and see that all that money was misappropriated and they're still in horror. It's just like the cats and the pets and what's happening with the migrant, and they're not good people that they're sending over. All those things. And for the media to be so systematic about, you know, twisting every single thing that he says, by far, hands down, greatest president. Imagine if he had a little bit of support from the other side and the media.
Could you imagine the work that could be done and what could be done
world.
Without all of this fake lies and, God, listen, what a country it'd be.
And he's not our savior. Don't get me wrong. It's not like
No.
But it's the closest thing to heaven on earth we could have because we'd have the ability to be in control. And that's the thing that people really misconstrue about freedom. I want freedom. Why? To do dumb things? I mean, sure, that's an option, but freedom was designed, the biblical style of freedom, to do the right thing And that's what America was founded, to have the opportunity to provide for our families, to make a new way, to make a new life. And to misuse that has been such a crime. And I think that's what getting back to the basics shows people, that we haven't been steering our own ship. We need to be involved, not so entertained to death that we're not aware of our own surroundings. And that's a horrible place. But the migrant situation in Texas, you know, for the last 30 years, it's been, of course, as a border state, worse here than most places. It's spread throughout the country the last couple of years. Yeah. And, you know, I think Texas is more overrun than anybody's ever going to tell you. They've tried. And I think we talked about the Beto angle last time, Ted Cruz stuff. I mean, we're seeing that over and over. If they can take Texas, they can take the country. If they can take the country, they can take the world. So I truly believe Texas is one of the last real strongholds, but it's been such a coordinated attempt. They've poured money into it. And look, with our governor shipping illegals to New York, you know, Abbott, is he not trafficking people? I mean, how does that help people to move migrants to the interior?
Why doesn't he just, like, send them back home?
That's exactly right. Put them on the bus, take them back down to the border, kick them really
Why are you shipping them up to New York? Yeah,
you're planting them in the middle of the country where you can't keep up with them anymore. Why did you do that? And so it just makes you wonder how much of it is intentional and subverted and controlled and paid for and part of their big plan, and we're not in it.
Did you see James O'Keefe when he was down on the border and he turned up at an old Nova hotel and it was all, you know, these big, it was all like fenced off and everything else, and he tried speaking to the security guard?
Yeah.
So do you know, it's our former, he was he Home Secretary with Tony Blair? David, Ed Miliband, it's his company. He left, he went up to be prime minister against his brother, and he lost. And he went and started working for an American NGO, being head of it. And he is the person ahead of all of those big hotels where people aren't coming out of there and kids are in there and all sorts are going on in those. And that is, you know, that's Miliband, brother, in charge of that.
I'm telling you, and that's the thing. Once you get these guys' names and numbers, they need to be infamous. And that's where the people, and you know this more than anybody, because you have to stay on them, you know, just yourself personally. You can't hand it off. You can't expect somebody else to do the right thing, because they want that. That's where it's up to us, you know, and that's what I've tried to teach people. It's not about.
But the censorship. Well, they wiped my Facebook that I'd had since before I'd woken up, actually, sort of like the end of 2000. It had pictures of little Jack on his first day of school. Jack's now 19.
And
I came down one morning and it was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gone. My face. No explanation, no chance to appeal, no emails, just gone. But I still can't have a PayPal account. I still can't get donations in. Everything is absolutely shadow banned. No one sees the posts. You can't post direct now from Liberty Tactics because nobody will see it. The website's been flagged up.
Wow.
I mean, and I still haven't got my old Twitter account back.
Oh, well, I tell you what, that's part of the thing we were complaining about before Trump and during Trump. And
yeah, you thought we would have been back by now. How long has Elon had it?
A while. Look, the same thing happens. The 1512, the obstruction charge was thrown out. It was shown that the Department of Justice had misused this charge and overcharged people for 3.5 years, you know, forced people to take plea deals with it other than face 20 years in prison. And so the Supreme Court said, no. Y'all can't use it. That's the wrong. No, take it away. So now they're trying to recharge people and bring their misdemeanors and give them extra charge and not letting them out of jail. They should be out of jail. Several of these people have already served enough time once you take that 15-12, but they're not. And that's
They're letting out like rapists and murderers.
Oh my gosh,
that's who they're letting out. We're having our prisons are being emptied at the moment as well.
Yeah, you get 7 years for killing somebody, you get 22 years for not being in DC on January 6th, but knowing the guys that went in the building. That, you know, these are guilty by.
I didn't know that. So you didn't, wait.
Yes.
Right. Can you please tell me, sorry, Somebody has been arrested for being a friend of somebody who was there.
Well, yeah, I mean it's a little more involved than that. Enrique Terrio, the president of the Proud Boys at the time, was not in DC on January 6th. And as a matter of fact, if he was there, but he was banned from DC. He'd just gone through another court case. They told him he couldn't be in DC. So he wasn't there that day. His guys ended up going in the building. Now, if he was there, he would have said, "No way, dude. We're not going near that building. There's no way." But he wasn't there. So they did. He still went to prison for 22 years because he's part of the club, because he was the club president. So he's in jail.
22 years.
Thought crimes and guilty by association is the world that we live in. Telling the truth is the bad thing to do. Being honest is wrong. You know, that's how they want it. That's how they're playing. 22 years. Never went, it was not in DC. I have another guy that served a year in prison, served a whole year, did not go to the Capitol building. He was at the Ellipse at the speech, but he never went down to the Capitol. He still served a year in jail because he made social media posts saying that people needed to stand up. If they certify this election, everybody needs to come back to DC, all that stuff. And they put him in jail for a year.
I had Mark Brew on a couple of
Oh,
times,
yeah.
and he was waiting to go for his court case and everything.
Yeah.
Do we know how he's doing? Have you got any update on him? Is he still inside?
I'm pretty sure he is. I would have to check. It's
Yeah,
been.
well, he'd have probably got in contact with us, wouldn't he, really, if he was out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
And I
there's
think.
still people in there, even though what's his face got released, as I said, the
The
QAnon
queue
shot.
coming. Yeah, there's still people. There's about 200 people in there at any given time. It's kind of a rotating door for a lot of people. The charges are usually range for from a couple of months to 4 or 5 years. So a lot of people are kind of going through the turnstile. You know, they're
Wow.
cycling through, serving their time and getting out and telling their stories. But it's
Are
all.
these people like Pelosi and I mean, it's a swamp. Do you think we are going to see these people actually stand trial? Because that's what needs to be done. They have what they have done to the greatest country in the world, and it is. You know, I love Britain. I completely love it. But you know, you're one nation under God.
I love it.
So,
I love it. Well,
I
I
need an
do
American husband. I really do.
we'll keep looking
Do
around over
you
here.
think? Do you think we are going to see justice? Because these crimes are horrific.
I'm gonna steal a line from
Like
my.
Pelosi and the insider
Let
trade.
me
I mean,
tell you.
the list just goes on. I mean, that there's just so many.
I'm going to steal a line from my friend Juan O'Savin in Bloody Hill when he says that we must have justice. It's not because we're an unjust people, but because we're a just people. The American people demand justice. And it's not that mob mentality. We want legal system. We want judges. We want lawyers. We want the whole thing. We want it done right. It's not some mob mentality. We're not going to go exact justice. We want it done properly and thoroughly, but we won't stop until we have it. And what we're seeing is more and more people that have shied away from the process, the whole political thing, getting involved once again, just like our founding fathers when they said, "I am so sick of this. I have to be the one to do something." Well, damn it, here I go. And that's where we are. And hundreds and thousands of people have been activated. That's why we're seeing this massive movement of people stirring, waking up, seeing what's going on, and being interested enough in these expose thing. We just had JJ Carroll and Ryan Matta. Oh my gosh, their film, What is Treason? We saw part one, Trafficked, at the 1A Film Fest, the world
Yeah.
premiere. They did it the world premiere at our theater. It was amazing. And once you see that
Wow.
stuff, you will not unsee it. Once you see it, you're done. I mean,
Yeah.
it's such an overwhelming statistical body of work. Witnesses, I mean, JJ Carroll was a 24-year border agent, so he knows everybody there. He was able to, get the interviews, the information.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. So that's what people are ready for. They want it fixed. They're tired of suffering. The pain points are being met. And that's something that there has to be. And the media, unfortunately, has robbed people of the proper outrage, the proper emotional response, because they don't know
exactly
what
these
happened.
These children is what is going on needs to be on every headline news.
Because
there is nothing
know.
More important than our children, and
people don't know. People
exactly.
And if
because
they don't
I know
know,
people don't want to talk about it as well. Oh, it's uncomfortable. It's our duty to talk about it.
Because there's power in prayer and there's power in numbers. When you have hundreds of thousands and millions of people praying for something, God's going to listen. And that's the thing. When you can keep that information away from them, they don't even know what to pray for.
Yeah.
It's just crazy the way this, it's energy. And I'm not one of those new age guys. I'm talking about, this is real stuff. I can't explain it, but
it's
that's
spiritual.
how it works. And it's all about action. We just try to spur people to action, get involved, wake up, get your relationship with Jesus Christ done first. That's the most important thing. Then jump in feet first, do what you need to do. But it's just a matter of being in the game and not just some bystander. If you're a bystander, you're hurting. You're hurting us all. You need to move, you need to take action, you need to teach people, tell people, spread information, and stay busy. Keep your hand on the plow. I mean, it's biblical.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
You've been amazing. There's more. There is so much more we need to talk about.
Oh my God.
But I think we'll leave it till after the election. So what I'd like to do is the following day after election, if I can grab you for half an hour.
Yeah.
Just to give a roundup. So what are your predictions? Have you voted? And what are your predictions on how's it going to go on election day?
I have not voted yet. I'm trying to hold out until day of, but I'm watching real close. So we're just going to see what we see and see how it develops as well. We may end up voting a little early, but my prediction is that I'm going to vote on the 5th itself, maybe the 6th, maybe the 6th, just kidding. But anyway, you know, my prediction is still, and I have to just lean back into this one for a minute, that we're not going to get to the election.
No.
I just think that what we're seeing in the media over the last several weeks is the fraud from 2020.
Yeah.
So I think at any minute now, since Pence bought us 4 years by allowing them to certify a fraudulent election, which left it open-ended because there's no statute of limitations on fraud. Now, if he'd sent it back to the states, they could have voted
as he should have done. As he
no,
should have done.
No, no, no. If he
he
had,
shouldn't have sent it back to the states.
Yeah, as he shouldn't have. Yeah, because if he sent it back to the states could have voted Biden in, and he would have been the legal and legitimate president of the United States and could have destroyed the Constitution.
So but, what was he supposed to do? What happened then?
Well, Trump led everybody to believe that he wanted him to send it back to the states.
Yeah.
But that's not what Trump wanted. Trump wanted them to certify the fraudulent election so they would complete their crimes and be accountable or culpable for it. So he literally helped them do bad things, let everyone believe that Pence is a horrible guy when there's just really not a lot of proof. I mean, sure, everybody's done political things if they've been in politics.
What a patriot that man is. What that man has done for the people, it's unbelievable because they had to see it. And he has put, I mean, like, wow.
Yeah, it could be crazy. Look, we wouldn't have salvation without Judas turning to Jesus. And I truly believe, and I may be way off, folks, and if so, we'll all laugh about it. But the truth is, if it hadn't been fraudulent, then it wouldn't be open-ended. It's still open-ended. Trump could come back 2 days on November 4th or 3rd and say, get out of my chair. Get out of my chair. I'm going to handle this. So you can't do martial law. You can't do all these things. You can't bootstrap us. You know, it's a possibility. So we're seeing more of that buzz on TV. I just want people to know, there's so many ways this could go, and maybe Trump's going to let it play out and see if just the overwhelming number of people that they can't fake it because there's just not enough people in America to make those vote numbers. And if that's the
There
case,
isn't. There really isn't. I
then
mean,
he may just be able to sit back and let that happen and let that be an argument that the people get to see.
yeah.
Otherwise, he can say, you know, guys, just to be honest with you, the last one was fraudulent. We have all the proof we need. Get out of my chair. So
Yeah.
we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited to see whatever
What
happens.
a time to be alive.
Oh, I'm telling
What
you.
a time.
Oh, it is great.
So
Listen,
we will catch up after the election. Dave, I cannot thank you enough for coming back on. I'm so delighted you're back.
it's always
Hopefully
good to
we'll
talk
catch
to you.
up again next week and let's start doing more together because we need to do more shows because there's so much I've still got to ask you. But stophate.com, if you can send me all the links to books, etc., I will get them down in the description box for you.
Sounds great. Thank you, Lewis. Great to talk to you.
God bless you, my
God
favorite
bless you,
American.
my friend. Thank you.